I think I do.
No more trapezoid roll. Please. Kill the thing.
It would be great if they could kill it. It would, because I am the first guy who's in favor of any goalie leaving his little area being fair game. Now, of course, Devils fans will hate that because Brodeur he'll be the first guy that gets plastered.
Oh, sure.
You know, I'll be fine with them not being fair game, just have the pressure situations, the hurry situations. You know, if Brodeur thinks he's quick enough to get out there and make the play, you want scoring, you want excitement, let the goalies go as far as they want to go. Let Patrick Waugh do his center ice spinorama against Wayne Gretzky that he did a few years back. I agree with you on the trapezoid there. That's there's right now hockey's making us learn a whole lot about geometry and right now about business and math that I really don't want to have as part of my hockey experience.
It's a good point. It's a real good point.
The trapezoid was put in there for what reason? It was put in there to stop some of that one and create scoring chances or something or what?
I believe the intention was that it would make the defensemen have to be more active with playing the puck so they wouldn't have the goalie turning it back in. So it would be it would improve the offensive output for a dumping ace or for guys throwing the puck in the zone. That was the idea. I think it's probably resulted in more injuries from people flying in.
And it gave teams an extra defenseman when goalies figured out, the good ones, how they could just sit back there and do whatever they want with the puck. For like three, four seconds.
No, that would never happen. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was, but you're right, that would be a positive thing. But I will tell you this, and when we watch all these sports, baseball included, I will say that on all levels, at least I see hockey getting replay right and not making too much out of it, taking too long, where I think almost every other sport, sometimes they get it right, but they all take way too long.
Hmm.
I agree. I think that the replays really sped up over the past few seasons. You know, using the war room in Toronto, everybody always likes to joke about going to Toronto, but they're consistent and they've gotten a lot faster. And I feel a lot more comfortable as a hockey fan knowing that it's going there for the review than just upstairs to the local video official who's doing this part time, who I'm not sure what he's looking at. So
yeah, there's
I
no
do
more
feel
Brett
a lot
Hull
better about
plays,
about the whole thing.
You know, right? There's no more Brett Hull plays. There's no in big situations.
If I hear one more Buffalo fan complain about complain about the defense. It's to the point where at least now for the most part, other than some of the officials on the ice who I still think need the prescription eyewear program, at least the replay part. We got one thing down. It doesn't sound like much, but one thing.
It's something.
Okay.
You know, the AHL is trying out replays this year, which I'm not sure how they're going to do that, but it's supposed to be league-wide. At least that's what I heard.
For the AHL?
In the AHL.
Yeah, they don't even show replay on the screens most of the time.
On the Jumbotron. I know they don't. Yeah, in fact, the president of the AHL had said as much at the All-Star game last year, and I thought, there's just no way. And then it was just maybe a month ago they announced that and hybrid icing that they were going to be trying out.
I don't really know
how the replay is going to work out in the NHL or the AHL. They don't really have the camera work set up for that, so I don't quite know. Yeah,
I'll be
going to go.
I'll be going to a preseason game on Tuesday between Adirondack and Albany, and I'll see. Hmm. I'll snoop around and see if they're starting to even mess around with it for that.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a big announcement, I don't know, maybe a month or two ago, that they were going to do that. So, yeah, I'm going to one on Wednesday. I'm kind of curious to see if they have anything of that sort. And the hybrid icing will kind of be interesting, too. I don't know how that's going to work out.
Yeah, and Chris, I just want to tell people, I'll have more on the prospect game on my site tomorrow. I'll talk about those other A-list guys that I maybe didn't mention, but I have notes on. And also an interview I did with Mika Zibanejad, because I, even though I was driving to the prospect game, didn't mean I didn't take a veer off, and I veered off in Binghamton and caught their practice and spoke to him, because I think he's one of the better young players in the world, so that was fun too. So I got around the last couple of days.
Wow, sheesh. Talk about racking up the upstate New York miles.
Yeah.
Speaking of Binghamton, are they're still with the Senators? Is that right?
Yeah, it's still the Senators. It was the first time I was at that Broome County arena. It was a nice old arena. It was fun, and it was good. I mean, they have five Swedes on their team. They're probably going to have the most in the AHL, and I find that kind of interesting. And then they might be signing a fairly big name this week from the Ottawa club. Yeah, I can't say, but it's a big name. It's not a big name necessarily all-star status, just might be big in stature.
But I think I know who you're talking about.
That's all I can say.
I would take if I took a guess. You don't have to answer me.
I will tell you either way, but you can guess.
I wonder if you're talking about Ben Bishop. I'm just curious.
Can't
tell you Ben Bishop out here in Texas. All right. The first time I saw him play for Peoria, he was like, "We're like, my God, he's bending over in his life. He's barely fitting under the crossbar. I mean, the guy is gigantic."
I have a picture. Yeah, I have a picture of him. I covered him in an East Regional in the NCAAs when he was with Maine, and he was shaking hands with Jeff Lurge, and they went up against each other, and Lurge was 5'5", and he's 6'7". That's a great picture.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Lurge, I know he was a Devils prospect for a while, but I don't know what happened to him after that. And I played with Michigan or Michigan State or something for a few years.
Not sure. But, you know, one of my first picks in this KHL league could be a Devils prospect. A former Devils prospect.
It
could be Aria Johan, who I remember interviewing back in the day when he was a backup for New Jersey, hoping to be the guy, never to be the guy.
Ahonen was one of those players that literally, he just, it's hard to
explain.
He
got pissed off and left.
Yeah, pretty much. That was the best, the best way to put it. But, I mean, he waited. He had talent.
Yeah, he had talent.
It was just he knew that he was never really going to crack another team, and it's just like, you know what, heck with this, I'm gone.
Yep. And he just disappeared.
Now, ironically, some KHL wonderkin.
Yeah, he was leading all goalies last time I looked.
I gotta say the highlights I've seen so far from the KHL make it look pretty exciting. I mean, more so than I thought it would be. You know, I really
all defense aside, because there is no defense.
Yeah, especially if you're playing CSKA. So they're not the Saskatoon of the world.
But yeah, there's no defense.
I've told people this. When you watch a KHL game, the first thing to inspect is, one, shots on goal do not appear to be what they really are.
Right.
Their stats guys don't really count very well. You'll watch a game, and I can't remember which one it was from yesterday. And I counted at least maybe 35 shots on goal combined in the first period. It's a random game. I'm looking at shots on goal, and it's like 12-11, and I'm like, there's no way. I mean,
it's Russia. That's the answer.
there was one shot from like 2 feet away that fit. I'm looking at the board and, the scoreboard, and other than not being able to read 99% of it, I could see where the shots are. It's like any other rink. It's like it didn't move, and I'm like, what? I was like, he hit the goalie straight in the chest. I mean, from 2 feet away.
Yeah, I wonder if
the shot on goal,
all
right?
These added, like, this kind of added exposure, some of these leagues are going to step it up a bit. I mean, I've been going to AHL games for 3 years now, and they can be all over the place, in terms of the refs, in terms of everything. It'll be interesting to see, especially with all these new players coming into the AHL or coming down to the AHL, whether the AHL as a league kind of steps it up. I mean, their streaming right now online is horrible. And it's only going to get worse.
I'll tell you what. I've covered them from the very beginning. So in 12 years, I think Dave Andrews has had a really good impact because they were really Bush 12 years ago. They're not quite that now. And actually, since the last lockout, when they were, did get that infusion of talent there,
right,
it really helped. That's I felt they took a monumental leap at that point, and they've been better from that point on. They really have. They've gotten, even if you notice, teams have even been a little more willing to let their guys play there rather than avoiding it, because they were avoiding it for a while, and they basically had turned into just a sort of, well, we're going to stick our older players there, and they'll keep the fans happy, and they'll fight a little, and some of these guys will score because they'll be career guys. But now teams like Detroit are stashing guys there. There's been, in the last 3, 4, 5 years, a lot more talent flowing through there.
Oh, so no,
that's interesting. I didn't know it was that bad just 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
You won't see a Giroux scoring 50 goals there.
No, but Giroux did play there, you know, and that's the point, is that teams were letting, even Varlamov, they let play there, you know, and because in the past they just wouldn't even have done it. They would have just bypassed it. And now, they're like, as an example, you know, Zibanejad's playing there. He certainly could play over in Europe and it wouldn't be a big deal. But they feel confident. They like the coaching. They like the way that and arenas have gotten better. I mean, all those things have gotten better in the AHL.
Right.
And there's a lot more, and there's a lot more newer, renovated arenas than there were 12 years ago, too.
Right.
So that helped.
Is Jeff Skinner did not report to camp? Is that what I read? Is that accurate? Or is he actually playing with Charlotte?
He's in Charlotte. Yeah.
Okay.
And actually, Charlotte's got a hell of a team. I would say I've done about 6 prospect articles already on Sportsology, and people could check them out. But I did one on Victor Rask, who's also down there. So for me, one of those teams I want to see is Charlotte, because they're already going to have Rask. They're going to have Skinner. They're going to have Justin Falk. I mean, they're going to have a fun team to watch.
They're playing in our home opener here on the 13th.
Yeah, I would definitely. I would watch them. They're going to be fun.
Yeah, they were great the last couple of years. Even when they had Matsumoto, I'm not sure why they traded him, but
Matsumoto is a career AHL guy. I thought for a little while when he was here in Philly, he might turn into something, but he's been just one of those guys that produces down there, and he's a good skater. He always has been a good skater. And that's, he creates out of that. Yeah, I'm not sure why they would get rid of him, but I hope Fortunato is playing for you guys, because he's a good kid, the Jamaican defenseman. Is he still on the roster?
For who? For
Texas.
Charlotte?
For the Texas Stars.
No. Oh, you mean Fortunas?
Yeah, Fortunas. I mean, sorry.
Yeah, Fortunas. Yeah, he is. He signed.
He's a good.
Well, he still signs with Dallas, but yeah, he's definitely the.
Yeah.
At this point, he's the veteran of the team, for sure.
Yeah.
And he's at camp. He'll make it, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why I said Fortunato. I'm thinking of something else. I'm getting tired. But he's a good kid. I like him. I remember I felt bad when everything was going on in Jamaica. We had him on our show, and just a real good guy. And he's actually a fairly good player. I saw him make his NHL debut here in Philly and still feel like he might have some sort of NHL career.
He could. At this point, isn't really get the call-ups anymore to Dallas. I mean, they're calling up the younger guys.
Yeah.
And I think he played in maybe 1 or 2 games the last couple of years. I mean, maybe turning into an AHL life, I don't know. But, you know, he plays a very good game. I mean, he plays a solid game. He's got the best shot on the point of anybody on the team. You know?
Yeah.
It's
Who's your goalie down there now?
This year it'll be Jack Campbell. He's going to be...
Oh, yeah, it's Campbell, right.
For
That's
sure.
What I was thinking.
Yeah.
Jack Campbell will be fun to watch because... He's good, and I think he had to just get a slight humbling process going on with him. But I think you'll see a real good year out of him.
He finished last year with us. I think he played the last 12 games of the season, and we were in last or next to last place, right in front of Binghamton out of the league.
Yeah.
And despite being in last place, and despite having a really terrible team and the coach falling apart, everything was just a mess. He played really well, and the excitement they generated around him. Was enough to get everybody excited about him this year, and so I mean the starting spot was his to lose. You know, what I mean for sure
it
was going
to
be.
Not to disparage Chris, but yeah, he's a hell of an athlete. He really, you know, goalies aren't generally good athletes, but he's a really good athlete.
Yeah, He's
really, really devoted to hard work. I'll say that much. I mean,
yep.
That's the impression that I hear from people, the media down here, from, you know, a lot of different people that say that this guy's the first guy to show up. He's tough on himself, you know. I mean, he's really a workhorse. So it's, coming from a last place team, it's nice to hear, you know.
Yeah, he'll be good. He'll be with a full year. I forgot he even got some games in last year, I guess, when – I don't even know. Where is he, in Windsor or in London? I think it's London.
He'd been traded from
Windsor to London, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
then,
so
yeah,
I guess
for about 12 games.
Yeah, and that's good. That's good. Yeah, he's a good kid. He'll be a good NHLer someday. I still think that was a good pick, and he's still pretty young. I mean, let's face it. He, what is he, 20, going on 21?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing how much mileage he has, despite the fact that he's so young.
I know, because he's been in that system. But and that's what I'm saying. I mean, look at all these guys we can name that are good U.S.-born players that are coming from weird places. He's another Texas kid, right? I mean, I think it's where Campbell's from. I forget where
Campbell's,
he's from.
I thought he's from Detroit or from Michigan, maybe not.
No, he is from Michigan.
Port Huron. Yeah.
Yeah. There's somebody.
Campbell.
Else
you might be thinking of Austin Smith. He was Hobie Baker runner-up.
Yeah.
He's from Dallas.
Right.
He's a camp right now.
From Vegas. Yeah. You got Jason Zucker is from Vegas. I mean, guys are just coming from these weird places, and I think that's fun. I think that also shows that for all the people that do want to sort of bash some of these teams in weird markets, some of them are producing players because they've gotten minor hockey going.
You know, I played minor hockey in California in the 80s. I could tell you, like, you never thought about playing anywhere else. I mean, it was just, you know, it was a dead end. I mean, if you heard one guy talking about, oh, I'm going to go play for, you know, Merrimack or something, it's like, no, you're not. You know, and nobody ever did. So to hear guys, you know, now that are getting drafted, it's like amazing to me. You know, it's amazing. I can't believe guys are coming out of California. I love it. You know, I just think it's fantastic, but, man, it was dark days back then.
I mean, there's more than – there's probably, you know, again, if I wasn't tired, I could think of them off the top of my head. There's probably, like, four really good ones besides the kid I named tonight. I mean, that are on the cusp, like Emerson Edom, of being real good NHL players. I mean,
yeah,
it's just – it is absolutely incredible to me.
Yeah, it's a thrill. I mean, it's shocking. And Texas, too, but, you know, Dallas made such a commitment to youth hockey when the Stars arrived. It's not too surprising, but
although
they built rinks everywhere.
Although they always, for a long time, sort of used the Brian Leach, you know, Corpus Christi thing, but he really didn't live there.
Oh, that's right. He was just born there, wasn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, he was born there.
Yeah. I forget about Brian Leach. Yeah, he doesn't – I don't know where he grew up, but it certainly wasn't Corpus, no.
It was Connecticut, but the thing was – for a long time, they used to just say, he's the only player from Texas, and he wasn't even really from there.
Yeah, right. That doesn't surprise me.
That was the big joke back in the day. But, yeah, now there's some real players. I mean, yeah, here, you know what else I was thinking of? I just sort of Googled because my brain's not working. Jonathan Blum, another good one from California.
Yeah.
Who's already having –
Milwaukee, right?
Yep.
Already
having an impact.
Yeah, but he actually made it up to Nashville, right? And I think
he did. Yep.
And
I think Rakishani is gonna have an impact.
Is he gonna be able to not go through a month without getting a concussion though?
I hope so. You know what? He's a good kid too. He's
he
one of those guys that I don't want to say he would be like Matt Molson, but I think he could be like Matt Molson light. Like if he just stays healthy. And he got a season in, you know, you might be able to pop in like 15 goals and people would be like, wow, where'd that come from? And I think he's that kind of player. But you're right. I mean, some guys, sometimes they just get hurt and it derails them and it keeps derailing them. And that's something I don't think people fully take into account when guys get hurt and they're young and they're prospects, how it definitely hurts their development and it hurts it in a big way, especially if they miss a full season or a half a season and then they go into the next season and they're not quite right and then, you know, all of a sudden you're looking at their numbers and you're like, wow, they haven't really done anything in 2 years. You know, and it sets some of these guys back a lot.
I mean, unlike Nina Niederreiter, who's just Steve Black slow stuff.
Perfect example. Yeah, he's a great example. I'm not sure what to expect out of him now. And look, and part of it's the Islander process too. But I'm not sure what to expect out of him now. And I really did have pretty high hopes for him. I felt like he could be a real good player, so we'll see. But yeah, I mean,
how high was he drafted? He was drafted really high, wasn't he?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. He was, right. Like, I want to say fifth, something like that.
Yeah. Top five pick.
And but he had the offensive skills. He had size. He certainly was rushed to the NHL, and then when he struggled for that, then he had some injuries set in. And so now we'll see this year, maybe starting off in the AHL and then eventually getting into the NHL season might be the best thing that could happen to him.
Hmm.
Might
so,
be new progression.
The Islanders, is that Bridgeport? Bridgeport Sound?
Yeah, he's in
right
Bridgeport.
There?
Yep.
Okay.
And they'll be pretty good. Bridgeport will they'll have some guys. They'll have Brock Nelson there. They'll have some pretty good players.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Here,
the AHL this year is going to be great.
Yeah, it is. I'm just thinking, you know, if there is a CBA and I mean, the rosters are just going to be transformed, especially like, I mean, right now we're dreading playing Oklahoma City. You know, I mean, they're going to come to town with a stacked team, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I've not seen Justin Schultz is his name, right, the defenseman.
Yeah, I've seen him.
You know, I know they're getting Nugent Hopkins and who else? Taylor Hall, if he's healthy and
Taylor Hall will play
a lot of
too,
season,
yeah.
He's coming down.
Just having Hall and Hopkins is a killer.
Yeah, and there's another
and then
guy.
Schultz
there's
on
the
power play.
Yeah, there's and I mean it's just and Jordan Eberle. I mean,
yeah, Jordan Eberle.
Yeah,
yep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's not a bad lineup
that's
right there, and that's
80-85 points in the NHL season.
Yeah,
it's spring here.
Although you know what,
why not?
You can count your blessings. Yakupov could have been there too.
Yeah, I know.
Although he was going to go to the K,
well, thank
but
God.
You know, he can't go anywhere now.
Yeah. I thought he's playing the KHL. He's not going to.
No, he's not allowed to go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
No. Here's I can give you the latest on that because I was talking to a few people about it yesterday. So. When guys are signed to, and we'll put in quotes, CHL contracts, apparently now they hold you to it. I don't know why, because nobody in Sarnia expected Neil Yakupov to play for them this year. They expected him to play for Edmonton. But since he couldn't, hey, let's get Neil back here so we can sell more tickets. And
right.
And when they wanted him, when he wanted to play in his homeland, which I can't blame the guy, they said, no, we still have him under contract. And David Branch isn't doing anything about it. He's basically just letting it go. So now, you know, Yakupov's father, of all people, is like, he's not going to play there anymore. Because it's like, look, how many years do they need to see if Yakupov and Galchenyuk together, which is like an NHL line already. So you know, he doesn't have anything else to prove there. So he doesn't want to play there. Mm. But yet they're going to hold his contract, which I find really hypocritical.
So he's not going
really
to.
Really,
he has nowhere to play.
He has nowhere.
He
to
has
play.
Nowhere to play then. Huh.
Right.
Yes, I thought originally that they were going to actually sign the card finally.
No.
And let them go.
Not yet. Anyhow.
Boy. So now they've had a change of heart again.
So this brings up a big issue because the CHL there's a little bit of rumbling that there might be a player union happening for them. And they're getting some traction. So I feel like if that happens, hey, it's good for the kids because I want to say 80% of them don't go to college, even though that's part of the deal. They just don't go. And so there's a tricky mathematical formula that some of these teams have figured out that, hey, we can get X amount of players, and as long as, you know, 60 to 70 to 80% of them don't go to college, we don't ever have to pay it. So they save money. Because some teams were saying, well, if all the guys went, they all went to college, which I think they all should go, and they should all take advantage of it. If they all went, we would get bankrupted. And it's like, well, then I would think you could only sign these guys if you could afford to send them. It's only up to the guy whether he doesn't want to go or not. So I think it's going to help the NCAA system and the USHL in the long run, because I think players are going to see, especially European players, are going to see how things are going. And, you know, the USHL doesn't make you sign a contract that they hold you to. You could play in high school and play in the USHL on the weekends. Guys do that.
So how would a player in the CHL play, once you play in the CHL, at least at the A level, aren't you done in terms of NCAA? Don't they consider you?
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, you can't go back. Once you're in CHL, you're a pro because of the stipend.
According to NCAA.
Is
that right?
Yeah, because of the stipend part. Hmm. Yeah. And yes, it's good that you say according to the NCAA, because yes, I am not the biggest fan of how college eligibility goes, but it is what it is.
The colleges in Canada, though, they don't have the same standard, correct?
No. No, they don't have the same standard. It's different. And again, and you don't see too many university players playing in the NHL ever anyhow, because usually if you're playing university hockey, you're not that good. Well, I mean, it's just a fact of life, you know, whereas NCAA is a whole different thing. So,
yeah,
and there's a big debate there. If people listen to the show, they might even get mad at me, because there are some good universities in Canada, but they're not as many, not even close, as there are in the States. And that's why guys want to play in the States, because they could actually take advantage of a great education, too. I mean, there is a benefit to that. For the ones that go, I mean, it's a good thing. So I think that'll help them, because I think that's somewhere where the CHL is sort of losing a little traction. So we'll see. I mean,
it's interesting.
So that's where the CBA has affected all these leagues. It really has.
I'm surprised that the CHL Players Association, I didn't think that was going to really go anywhere. But
no, it's going.
Who's running that, or who's behind it?
Yeah, I got to tell you. Hold on. I should know off the top of my head, but like I said, I'm getting soft here as the night goes on. Here's a new story. So the Sarnia Sting are asking for the KHL team to pay him money for Yakupov. Like, so they're doing the same business that KHL teams do to get to let guys play in the NHL. That's ridiculous.
Oh,
that is.
You had to know this was coming, Russ.
That's criminal. I'm sorry. It's just ridiculous.
But the problem's going to be this at some point. You know that the KHL and Russia is not going to take this lying down. They're going to figure out a way.
George Locke.
They're going to nail a bunch of contracts. And go, okay. You want to do that? All right. No problem.
Yeah. Yeah, it's George Locke who's doing the CHLPA.
That's right.
I'm not even. Nope.
He's a Canadian politician now, right? Or at least he was.
He was thinking about it.
He paid off some of his legal troubles, at least.
He did. Okay.
Yeah. I still can't.
I wonder how much cash the Sarnia Sting are asking for, because if you look up, it's kind of amazing. But if you look up how much CHL teams make, you'd be shocked. Mm-hmm.
They do that
look
well?
They do very well.
The number is not what you would expect.
No. Let's see. I think I can get a number from... to give you an example.
And this is speaking generally across the CHL, across all leagues.
Yeah.
Well, or at least the great teams, you know.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to give you a number in a minute.
Obviously, they don't pay these kids much. What, a stipend, you're saying? Like a weekly allowance kind of thing? A couple hundred bucks a month?
And promise of college.
Obviously, I don't have much in terms of... I know that they have pretty big staffs, at least, to have to pay, so...
they're not that big.
They're not that big.
You could look. No, you're talking about 10 people or less. It's usually less.
That.
Let's see.
I mean, the Sting has a staff of about 15.
Yeah, okay. And that's a big one.
Yeah.
And when you say staff, I'm thinking of like everyone from the coach to trainers to everybody, right, involved at that level. I mean, they have a. I don't know if the coach and the GM are the same in the CHL.
No, I think they're.
Sometimes.
No, they're different. They're definitely different.
They are different.
Yeah, most times, unless it's a situation where it's an owner and coach.
Mm.
Okay, so yeah, the average CHL team is worth around $7 million.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
$7 million.
It's more than the Coyotes. No, I'm just kidding. It was just out there. It was too easy.
The New York Islanders, I would have expected out of this.
Well, I've heard the Islanders pocket around $5 million a year. So, in as far as what they clear, that would be pretty accurate. But they're worth a lot more.
Right.
Wow, $7 million. That's quite a bit of money. I mean, I don't think
quite a bit of money.
I don't think AHL franchises are really worth a whole lot more. Putting a few aside, let's say Hershey.
Maybe, I'm not sure they're even. Yeah, I mean, I would say the average one's worth less. In
yeah,
most of
probably.
The cities, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's actually pretty surprising. Because they can't possibly have that much overhead, at least compared to teams that have, you know, players with real salaries.
No.
Huh.
And that's where the whole crux of the what we were talking about comes in. So, but again, none of this would have probably gotten any traction without the CBA expiring in the NHL.
Everybody has too much time on their hands, huh?
It just creates this sort of effect, you know, and it does. It affects every, I'm telling you, it affects every organization, like, in, you know, going down the line. All right, so here, so as an example, the CHLPA is trying to, for teams that win, if you won a championship, they would have to put an extra like $12,000 into every player's account.
That's just,
For their educational account.
And if they don't use it for education, or if they don't get,
it goes away. It goes away.
It goes away.
That's what I'm saying. It evaporates, yeah.
When I first heard that, I wasn't so sure that the junior players needed a union. It didn't really make sense to me, but
yeah,
that's one argument.
So, you know, it's an interesting dilemma, and that's where the whole... And so, like, if Sarnia gets an extra... $1 million from the KHL. It's just pure profit.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what that means.
About all these players coming down from the NHL, and, you know, I mean, I know they're going to make profits for a lot of these AHL teams, you know.
I will tell you, there will definitely be an effect, like Chris was saying, if they have to pay out for that, you could be sure that in the next couple of drafts, some of these Russian players are going to think twice before playing in North America again.
Here we go.
It could back up the process a bit.
Just well, you know, that's the one thing that the one problem with the NHL Players Association, in my opinion, is that, you know, they really don't have any leverage that they haven't earned over time. And so I felt that if players started to disperse to other leagues and draw more attention to other leagues and actually make those other leagues look attractive to players, then the NHL then they actually might have some sort of options that the NHL would actually be, or, excuse me, would actually give the Players Association some leverage, because otherwise they just don't feel like they have any.
Yeah, I think it's helping a little, but not a lot. And when guys like Nash get hurt, then it helps even less. Because then I think both sides just get hurt, literally. But the thing is, what I found out yesterday was I think the two real bargaining chips now, because everybody was worried about the Winter Classic, and everybody keeps thinking, oh, it could get canceled in November because the players want to use that as a chip. But I still don't think NBC will go quietly with that one, so I don't really think it's going to happen. But I think the chip that the NHL will play will be the Olympic chip, because the Olympics are not up to the players or the Players Association. It's up to the league if they want to allow their players to play over there.
That's part of the CBA, right?
Yep.
Does it work
there? What's part of it? It's just part of you play for a professional league, and they want to let you go play during our season.
Right.
They don't have to let them go.
No.
Yeah.
So that's
almost
where.
Like the more you know.
Yeah. So I think that's a bargaining chip for the league, because, you know, for as much as someone like Alex Ovechkin says, well, I'm going to play over there regardless, and Ted Leonsis says, well, I'm not going to stop him, it's like, yeah, but the league will. The league will stop him, and if Ovechkin goes, he'll get suspended from the league for X amount of years, who knows how long.
Right.
So is it really worth it?
Mm-hmm. There's almost a part of Ovechkin that sounds like, at least right now, and of course this could change, he almost doesn't care.
It sounds that way until we
right.
see when it all hits, and he maybe takes right. a look at his bank account and sees how much money he's spending, and then sees if it's worth it.
When do their paychecks start not coming? It's in
October
sometime, right?
Beginning October 1st, like.
And they're getting a certain amount from the Players Association.
They have a war chest from the Players Association. Yes.
10 or 15 grand a month or something?
I'm not sure what it is, plus their insurance. Luckily their insurance is being covered by the PA.
Do you know who's, for example, who's paying the, I mean, generally the NHL, the guys who have two-way contracts, their salaries are paid for by the NHL teams. Are they still paying them down in the NHL?
Yeah, the NHL, yeah,
normally
the parent team, yes.
They
but
still
there's
are.
Some positives, but there's some positives that have come out of this. One positive that I found out right away was Wade Redden's not getting paid.
Is that right?
Oh,
yeah.
God,
that what, $6 million or something?
$6.5 million, yeah. And
why
yeah,
is that?
You can't, because he has to go through training camp to decide, for the Rangers to decide if he's going to play on the NHL roster or not, and then you have to go through the process of waiving him and sending him down to the AHL and then paying him down there. Well, of course, the Rangers aren't going to just let him go to the AHL and start paying him, because they don't want to pay him his $6.5 million. So
right.
he's in no man's land right now.
Huh. That's interesting.
Wow.
But that's some poetic justice.
Next job, hot dog vendor.
Yeah. I mean, it's
everybody
it's
else
enough.
Who joins a. Who makes the NHL, or makes an NHL team at camp right now? I mean, there's not a whole lot of spaces for anybody, but the rare guy that does, he's obviously going to have to be signed to an AHL contract, right?
Well, an AHL.
I mean,
here's the thing. All right, I'll give you what I know about the contracts and looking at them and everything. And Chris, next time you have me on, I didn't know you were going to ask me these hard questions. I mean, all right. So anyhow,
I told you, Russ. This is a new show. I mean, you know, we
you've
we
elevated your game. Okay. You've elevated your game. I appreciate it. No, when all the guys sign their three-year deal, it's a two-way contract. So that's why a guy like Nugent Hopkins. So, and generally, like if you go on CapGeek and you look at it, the AHL is generally a standard, like $75,000 if you're in the AHL, and then you're, you know, you're $900,000 if you're, or whatever it is, $700,000 in the NHL.
Right.
So that's pretty much like, so the big joke was, I don't know if you caught this, Chris, Adam Henrique's father, who works at Tobacco Farm, said, you know, for what the AHL is paying you, I could have kept you here harvesting for the next month rather than you going there, because he's only making $75,000.
Yeah. He would actually make, I think his father said something to the effect of two or three times more in less than half the time.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
So it was a good joke, and it was an interesting, like, you'll rarely hear something like that, so, you know. I get a kick out of it. But that's what happens with those guys. Now, there are some players that are getting signed to one-way AHL contracts because they were going to go to camp, try and get a job. They didn't get a job. So now it's like rather than waiting for the NHL, they're just going to play in the AHL.
Hmm.
And there was one yesterday already.
What's that?
Yeah, there was one recently. Well, I think Hugh Jessamine, I think, is one of them because he's in Binghamton. And he's a, I think he's a one-way AHL guy this year. I could be wrong, but he may have been one of the names. But there's a few, and you'll probably see some more.
That are signing AHL only. At camp here in Texas, Cam Barker showed up.
Barker's the one. Sorry, he's the one.
That's
Cam Barker signed a one-way AHL deal. That's what I was told yesterday.
Yeah, he's at camp here. I mean, he's one of about, I think, maybe 9 or 10 defensemen that are trying out. He's a surprise guy, really. Everybody pretty much knew who was coming, except his name kind of popped up out of nowhere. Yeah. I expect him to make the team, which sucks because, I mean, you know, there are a lot of other guys, I think, that, you know, are, I don't know.
But he has potential.
I mean, this is my reaction. It's I know there's a guy coming down from Swift Current who played there last year, and he had a tryout with us. He had an ATO last spring, just 5 games, but he was Swift Current's captain. He's a great player. His name's Taylor Vaughs. And he used to be, he's friends with Willie Desjardins, so I think that might have helped with getting another invite back. But he broke his foot while he was playing with us, and we expected him at camp, and sure enough, he's here. But, I mean, this is no room for him, you know? And he's a good player. Otherwise, he would have made the squad. I don't know if he's going to be sent to Idaho or if he's going to be sent to Allen or, you know, or what, but, you know, he would have made the squad otherwise, and he deserves to be here. So that's a drag. You know, I mean, he's going to. And there's, I mean, how many stories like him are all throughout the AHL? You know, it's like trickle-down stuff.
Barker was third overall. It's kind of absurd. And last year, 25 games for Edmonton, had 2 goals. It's just it's absurd.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's happening to him.
Is that 200-some-odd games of
296 games in the NHL.
Yeah.
Huh.
Jeez. 94 points.
94. Well, I don't know. I just feel like it's a shame that these guys, you know, I mean, I don't. I just think that, you know, the AHL being the league that it is, it's like now we're seeing guys that just aren't going to make it, and, you know, and who knows what's going to happen. I mean, there's no guarantee they're going to be around next year, you know? I mean,
yeah, well, that's the thing. He figured, look, Edmonton cut him at the end of last year. There's no league right now. I might as well just play in this league this year, because chances of me playing in the AHL this year were slim to none anyhow.
Right. Man, yeah. I mean, if he plays well, he plays well. But, you know, at the same time, it's like, Yeah, you know, I mean, when I heard Sidney Crosby try to justify that the other day, you know, saying, hey, we're competitive guys, that's why we're taking jobs. Is that the best you have? To say we're competitive people, so that's why we're taking, you know, it's okay for you to come down here and play for $65,000, but it's not okay for you to play for, you know, $1 million up there. What? That's what you're that's your argument, you know?
There's some funny things, and pretzel logic is a good way to say that, but I just like I saw something funny out of the IIHF a week ago, and they were talking about how teams over in Europe, their fans are, you know, they're very good fans, and it's tough for an NHLer to come over there and take a roster spot. And I'm thinking, yeah, in Davos it'd be really tough for Nash and Thornton to come there. I'm sure the fans are very angry about the two guys' spots that they took over there. They must be upset.
Hmm.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
It's just the pattern.
That would surprise me, too, that fans would react. Yeah, exactly.
No, of course they're not.
And owners aren't either. I'm sure they're probably doing pretty well. I don't know what they're paying them, but
they get a free everything, and then they'll get a few $100,000 besides.
Is that right?
Yeah, but you know, I'll tell you, even the DEL. I mean, I have a guy over there who, you know, contacts me back and forth, and they're thrilled for the NHLers again. They got Marcel Gauthier. He's going to have like a hero's welcome there. I mean. They love it, and Duvi Westcott just signed over there, you know, and he hasn't played in the NHL in a few years, and so they love it when guys go over there, and they all do, but the IIHF is sort of trying to play down the NHLers playing over there because they don't want the NHL to get upset because they want to have the NHLers in the Olympics, you know. It's a complicated formula there.
Well, I just wonder what about all these guys that aren't going anywhere? I know what Zetterberg said he wasn't going to go anywhere and play, and I mean there are guys that are actually doing things, right? I mean there are guys that are going to these meetings and you know,
yeah,
I mean,
like Henrik Lundqvist is playing his guitar. I saw on Twitter the other day he was asking what your favorite rock song is, and he just started picking up the guitar. So there are guys doing that. Well, if you think about it, if I were a player, a goalie especially. Like, I think it's crazy that Brizgalov's playing over there, because I think goalie could have the layoff and not get hurt, and rather than trying to risk getting hurt. But anyhow, I think when you look at it and you say, like, when you're a guy like Zetterberg or you're a guy like Lundqvist, yes, you could go over and play in Sweden and all is well and good. They have plenty of money. They might as well wait another month or two before they even think about that decision, because they're a little, you know, they're like, hey, I don't need to get hurt. I could just chill and relax, and I'd rather be playing. But if I'm not playing, it's better that I don't even risk it. And I think there are some guys that have, you know, thought about that too. And because, look, I mean, Lundqvist goes over there, he'll have fun. But he's a competitive guy. It's going to get boring for him. I don't want to upset anybody that, you know, listens, that watches the Swedish Elite League and loves it. Well, let's face it. If Henrik Lundqvist goes over there, he's going to be bored at some point.
Right.
Yeah,
it's different for a goalie.
Yeah, he's going to be. He will be getting.
I mean, right, Chris? You're a goalie. You tell me, how exciting is it going to be for him after a couple weeks there?
Well, I mean, at least if he finds some of the Euros from the Ryder Cup team, you know, you can go hang out with them for a little while.
Did the Swedish Elite League, did they open that up yet? I mean, I know that there were some antitrust issues there.
It's done. NHL guys can play there. Yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
They got thrown out of court.
Okay.
So guys are welcome to play there. Yeah, Ryder Cup, I have to admit, I don't know much about it. All I know is that when I was driving home from Buffalo today, I heard them talking about on the radio that, hey, they're down 10-6, and one of the guys said, hey, it's not impossible, we could still come back. And I'm thinking, yeah, of course you can. I mean, it's golf. It's not even like a real sport. And so, it's not even a sport, okay? Maybe I'm the only one in the world that's not shocked that they lost. Like, I'm not shocked at that.
I wasn't shocked either. I actually expected it. I even said to somebody, I was like, I wouldn't be surprised if Europe won, like, 15-13, and they're like, what do you mean? It's like, you guys do realize that Tiger Woods is playing on a Sunday.
He's not the same guy. I mean, this is not the same Tiger Woods. I don't know the average age of the American team, but if I had to hazard a guess, and I can be completely wrong, I would think the U.S. team is probably older than the European team.
Yeah, I know it was pretty close. I mean, let's put it this way. For a good old-fashioned analogy, the American team kind of looked like the Bruins from a couple of years back. Where it looked like there's no way that they were going to lose. And it's weird because even when Europe tied it up, it looked like the U.S. was going to pull ahead, and then the inevitable happened again anyway. So, I mean, you don't see the parallels often in sports. In this case, you actually did for once. And it's tough.
I thought the Ryder Cup was won by Europeans like every year. I thought it used to be U.S.
Occasionally every so often,
this
pesky little American one. But the fact that they have to take a whole conglomerate of nations to beat us, yeah.
But, hey, they did. But, you know, somebody did write online, and I won't say who it is because I'm friends with them, but they were like, greatest sports comeback ever, and I wrote back, it's not even a sport, so no, it's not.
No.
Leisurely activity comeback?